there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
We're going to read from the Epistle of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And this is the last in a sermon series that we've been doing on the life of Peter. So this sort of is his reflections. And so let's look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of God. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we know that you indwell the hearts of believers. We know that you are present here today. And by your guidance and by your teaching and by your wisdom and by your knowledge, impart to us those things that guide us and allow us to walk the walk of Jesus Christ in our lives. May you speak to our hearts, minds, and souls. May your word make a difference in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, oftentimes I think that the older one gets, you always feel like there's something that you want to pass on to the upcoming generation, your kids, people you know, younger people. I mean, I think we all think about that from time to time. I mean, I think about it anyway, and I always think, gee, if I had to write a letter to my kids to just tell what, and I knew that I was going to die. In Peter's case, in 2 Peter, he was ready to die. In fact, he was going to be crucified upside down by the Emperor Nero. And that's when, shortly before, he wrote 2 Peter. So, if you're going to think about those things and you have something to say, I would think that that last letter is pretty important. That Peter indeed had something to say. We do know a lot about 1 and 2 Peter, at least historically. We know that the Emperor Nero was an emperor of Rome. He's the one that fiddled on the roof while Rome burned, if you remember part of your history. Emperor who persecuted the church terribly. He blamed the Christians for everything that happened in Rome. We know that he died in 68 A.D. And so 1 Peter is likely written roughly about 60 to 65 AD. Second Peter is likely written somewhere before his death in 68 or 67, 68 AD. So we know that about these letters that Peter wrote. And here's what we have with that. Now, 1 Peter was roughly written 30 years after Peter had watched Jesus being crucified, had witnessed his resurrection, was with him when he ascended into heaven. This is now 30 years later. He has witnessed the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost when he gave his first sermon. He witnessed the inclusiveness of the gospel message when he went to the Gentiles to preach. And he affirmed Paul's mission to the Gentiles. And so he writes this first reflection 30 years later. And in 1 Peter, he was concerned with a few things. He was mostly concerned with salvation, that he writes in chapters 1 and 2. He was concerned about Christian living and the idea of giving and showing a good account of the gospel message. He was concerned about that. And in fact, in 1 Peter 3:15, 16, you may all have heard this verse before, but it says, "Set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. And keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." And so he's telling you to be ready to deliver that gospel message when the Holy Spirit makes it available to you. When people cross your path and there's somebody that you need to speak to deliver this hope that you have within you in Jesus Christ, that you're ready to do that. And apart from that, live a life that is good. Live a life that is beyond slander, that is beyond shame, so that nobody will come to you. You can be a living gospel message to others. And Peter's also saying that here in verse 16. And lastly, in 1 Peter, in the epistle of 1 Peter, he talks about the return of Jesus and especially the stewardship of the church, of the elders to the church. And so roughly, you know, 4 or 5 years later, 37, 38 years after Pentecost, the birth of the church, this is what Peter's main concerns are in the epistle of 2 Peter. He was concerned with, number one, your salvation, understanding your salvation. He was concerned, number two, with understanding the Word, the Scripture. In 2 Peter 1:19, 21, he says, "So we have the prophetic Word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." And so he stresses this idea of Christians understanding the Word of God. Number three, he warns, it's a warning and really a striking rebuke of false prophets. So now, 30 years later, after this ascension of Jesus, you have people coming in professing to be proclaimers of Jesus Christ, but now throwing their own sort of bent on it. And chapter 2 is pretty, if you read chapter 2 in 2 Peter, I mean, that's the one chapter that he really nails it to false prophets. In verse 1, he says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." And beloved, we see that today in many pastors who have fallen away from preaching the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that he tells us in 2 Peter is to remember that the Lord is going to come again in chapter 3. And he concludes his message in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now, the two things that really align in Peter's message is, number one, the primary concern in both of these letters of salvation. What does that mean? What's it mean to you specifically as a Christian? So imagine, Peter is sitting in prison. He's waiting to be killed by Nero and his people. He knows this is going to happen, and he has a message to give. And I can't help him but think of him sitting, you know, in this prison, in chains perhaps, you know, dictating his message to someone who was willing to write it. And thinking way back, 30 years before, some 32 years before, when Jesus said to him, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter," Kephas in Aramaic, which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." You see, the church was built on this rock of confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, of Jesus being the Son of God. All through Peter in the book of Acts, you see him constantly showing this message to others, the gospel of Jesus Christ, a faith in Christ for salvation. In chapter 4, as you remember, he tells the Sanhedrin that there is no other name, God, given on earth in order that we may be saved other than Jesus. And so he writes, "Simon Peter, a bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, he has learned in these 30 years that Jesus is the one that he looks to, that Jesus is the one that he serves. And when you serve somebody, there's a couple things about it. I think when you serve, you have to listen to the one who is asking you to do the service. I mean, that makes sense, right? Far too often in our Christian walk, we want to go out and just do stuff. But see, that's not what Peter's getting at here. Peter's saying, no, we have to follow the master. And wherever the master leads, you know, we just follow him and serve him. You know, we see where he is working in and around and among us, and we serve him. Oftentimes I think that we put so much emphasis in trying to understand what the will of God is in our lives that we forget to serve him where we are. We forget the everyday part of living our Christian lives. Serving Christ, it's very simple, actually. And if your spiritual antenna are up, you see God at work around you. You do. You pay attention to it this week, you will see it every day. And when you do, that's God inviting you to work with him. And so now, Simon Peter, writing this second letter, saying that he, yes, indeed, he's a bondservant and a messenger of Jesus Christ, an apostle. To those who have what? Received faith of the same kind as ours. And that is by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything contained pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. See, Peter's bedrock faith of Christ, the Son of God, continues even into his imminent death. He has not wavered from that at all for 30 years. Ready to die for Jesus, for what he witnessed and saw. Think about that. He saw the resurrected Christ. He saw Jesus ascend into heaven, this miraculous event that took place. He has now spent 30 years of his life proclaiming this message to others. Now, beloved, I don't think that people are going to spend 30 years of their life telling people a story they know to be false. I don't think there's any human being alive that is willing to die for something they know to be false. The rock that the church was built upon is faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Peter carried this message for 30-some years, even into his imminent death. He is a servant. He's a messenger of Christ. He's delivering the gospel message wherever Christ leads him. And that is of faith in Christ, salvation only through the righteousness of Christ. And Peter encourages us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. He encourages us to be wise enough to know that we are granted everything that we need through the true knowledge of Christ. You know, even Paul writes in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Salvation through faith in Christ, then, grants us his children, promises. And we're part of a family. He says in verse 4 that, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. By believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, this message that Peter has carried with him for 30-some years now, proclaiming it to others, writing about it, not being afraid wherever he spoke in front of the ruling elders of Jerusalem shortly after Pentecost and on his missionary journeys. As children of the living God, we have eternal life from this point forward, from the point that you've accepted Christ in your heart. You have eternal life being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And it is the seal of the promise that we are indeed children of the living God. That's who you are. And you have an inheritance in this family. And so as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, as children under the covenant, the promise of God's promises, our fallen nature begins to take on a heavenly nature. And it should. You should see a development in your life. And Peter tells us about this in verses 5 through 7. And so, if you understand your faith, and it's the same as ours, if you see this faith as precious and magnificent promises that are given to you as children of the living God, then this then is how you should live. This is how you are beginning to be transformed. In verse 5, he says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. So as Christians, we ought to be thinking about moral excellence, but in your moral excellence, you need to derive knowledge to understand what the moral excellence needs to be. And when you have this knowledge, you will have self-control. And in your self-control, you will be able to persevere. And in your perseverance, you will display godliness to others. And in your godliness, you will show brotherly kindness to others. And in your brotherly kindness, you will progress the ultimate, and that is love. That is agape love, this altruistic love. You see, if we are diligent and we are willing disciples, that we must then be obedient to a higher calling. You know, Brenda spoke about focusing on God. Yes, indeed, that's what we need to do. That's what our lives need to be about. You know, we have two choices when we wake up. We focus on God, we focus on the world. And every action that we take is one of the two things. And so we have to be willing disciples, and we must be obedient to this higher calling, and we must be willing to climb this ladder toward true love, this agape love. You know, in the writings of the epistles of the Apostle John, he says that God is love. And we must aspire to that very love that he has for us that we show others. Because from love, all of those other things flow. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. If we have love, you'll have all those other things. And faith is the key to increase, then, your usefulness and fruitfulness to God through godly love. He says in the last verses, these qualities are yours, and they're increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't lack these. Don't be blind. Don't be short-sighted. Don't go back to worldly thinking. Continue on. Be more diligent to make certain about his calling in your life, how he chose you, as long as you practice these things. And you'll never stumble. Your faith will never stumble as long as your view and your focus is God-centered. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. The bedrock faith of Peter's first confession of Jesus Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the guidance of wisdom and knowledge from the Holy Spirit, our teacher, we are enabled then to be useful fruit. We are able to be used in the kingdom of God. So you must not forget who you are. You are a child of the living God. You're saved unto eternal life with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit forever and ever. And so then, you know, we finish this journey that we've had with Peter. You know, Peter was this fisherman who became a disciple, who became a confessor of who Christ was. After the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he became a proclaimer of the message of the gospel. He became an includer of the Gentiles and an expander of the church. Peter has come a long way in his journey with Jesus. And so may your life in Christ grow in such a way. Very last verse that Peter shares with us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the end of eternity. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we do thank you that you share the life of Peter with us, that his life so much parallels ours in ways that we don't see the life of some perfect man who did perfect things all the time. No, indeed, he was just a regular human being, just like we are. And yet, when he believed, on that Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit dwelled in him and the other apostles present in that upper room, the message of the gospel was delivered throughout the world. And we learn from Peter that to be a bondservant and a messenger of Jesus Christ is the highest thing that we can do. Lord, raise our heads up. Keep our eyes ever heavenward. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we may follow the walk of Jesus Christ to do your will, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, all of God's children say, amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.